Please open your Bibles to Exodus 3. We'll read the first 14 verses. Exodus 3, the first 14 verses. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Beloved, turn with me in your Bibles. Near the back to John's first letter, 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read together verses 16 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, hear the word of the Lord. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, it closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. As it is every week, beloved, when I'm well enough to be in the pulpit, it is my great privilege and inexpressible blessing to preach God's words to you. Let's take him together in prayer now. Let us ask his blessing. O Lord God, I do ask that you would give strength to my voice, I fear the tempter does not want this word preached today, because we are going to preach on your holy name, and that is his doom. And we thank you for revealing it to us in Jesus Christ. So help, O God, the preaching today, that your word may be heard and Satan's kingdom utterly abolished and destroyed, and you reigning in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are taking a break from Mark, as you can see, and we're in 1 John today. If you don't know anything about this letter, in many ways, it's a letter about going back to the beginnings, because there had been a church split, and they needed to be confirmed in the faith that they were baptized in. The faith that one of the Lord's very own apostles catechized them in, preached to them, patiently taught them, as I'm sure, as you all know, nobody comes to this faith in a moment, hardly, but needs the patient instruction of God's servants to help them, and then the heartbreaking tragedy of seeing a church split. Well, we, this morning, as a congregation, by God's grace, aren't having a church split and need to go back to beginnings. But it is a day of beginnings, as Mike and Hannah are coming into membership at Grace and Peace this morning. Well, they will confirm again, right? Go back to that profession they made at their baptism. Confirm again before us their faith in Jesus Christ. But their children are going to be baptized and received into the Church of Jesus Christ today to be initiated in their Christian faith and make a beginning as a child of God in God's house. Praise God. So I have selected this text, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. We're just going to look at verse 23, and I have no time to give any of the context. Verse 3, chapter 23, where we see clearly before us, what is it to be a member of God's household? What is it to be a child of God, and how to become a child of God? By God's grace, I hope this morning when we're done with this text, everybody here will be able to confirm to themselves that they indeed be a child of God and be able to go out and tell anybody what is a child of God and how they can become a child of God. So the text this morning, I'll read it again to you, is these words, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." Now, there's three things we're going to look in order here in this passage. The first one is this, that the Father wants us to become his children. This is his commandment. The Father wants us to become children of God, to join the Church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, his children, God's children, believe in the deity, the Godhead of Jesus Christ. You see that there. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And third, God's children love one another. God's children love God's children. You see it there. Love one another, just as he, Jesus Christ, has commanded us. So the Father wants us to become his children. And God's children believe in the deity of Christ, and God's children love one another. That is the message to be proclaimed to you this morning, beloved. So let's look at the first one. The Father wants us to become his children, right? Members of his house. So the Church of Jesus Christ, given many things in Scripture, the body of Christ, but also, right, the household of God. And to do so, right, to become a child of God is to comply with God's own wishes, with his own will. He says right there, and this is his, in the context that's God's, and even more in the context that's specifically God the Father, because he says, believe on the name of my Son. So God the Father wants you and anybody who hears the preaching of this gospel, to become a child of God, and to do so is to please him, make him very happy, and to comply with his wishes. So, believe the gospel. It will be preached to you this morning if you don't know it. Be baptized, abide in Christ. That's what it is to be a child of God. Now, you might think real quick, in what John's preaching here isn't this strange, if you just think about it for a moment, and the many relationships that you already have. Think about the state. You're all American citizens, I think. Or you're here. And while you're here, you have to abide by America's laws. To be an American citizen, right, you have to confess the Constitution to be your governing authority. And you have to abide by its rules and trust in its decrees and its efficacy, right? You have to be a child of God, but confess Jesus Christ as Lord and love one another. Political body, you're going to be a member of a political institution. Or you have to confess the dogmas of that political party and abide by them. You can't be a member of that political party. You have to confess Jesus Christ and love one another if you're going to remain a member in God's household. Think about your own household too, right? Particularly, we'll look at children. Children, you have to confess mom and dad as your parents. Your governing authority. You have to trust in their love. Abide by their rules. Otherwise, you can't remain in their house. Do you know what the penalty for foolish children in Israel was who did not honor their parents and struck them down? God required death of such children. It is a matter then, right, of life and death to become a child of God. It's a matter of life and death to be a member in the household of Jesus Christ. It is a matter of life, eternal life, and death, eternal death. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, and love one another. So that's all to be preached on here in this first point to make clear to you. It is God's will that we become his children and abide in his house. Now you may be thinking, it's just hard to believe this gospel. It is difficult, the things preached to us. It is hard to really accept God loves me and forgives me in Jesus Christ. It is just hard to love people like myself. I don't know if I can do this, right? Is there any hope for me? Yes. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and call on him to help you, to give you the faith, to give you the love to become a child of God. Because if you do that, beloved, you're already complying with what Scripture is saying. You're treating him like God, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you find you don't have the faith, if you find you don't have the love, turn to Jesus Christ and call on him. He can give you the Holy Spirit. He can help you. He can reveal to you the Father. He can show you how to love each other. Because if you're already doing that, you're doing what John's saying. You're really believing he is the Lord I am. That can help you. So God, there'll be no excuse at the last day if you hear the preaching of this gospel and do not become a child of God. I am making his will known to you clear as a minister of the gospel. It is the Father's will that you believe his good news, his forgiving love in Jesus Christ, and you accept that love, and you abide in that love, and you live forever in that love. Trust in Jesus Christ, and do these things. That's the first point. Father wants us to become members in his household. Secondly, God's children believe in the deity or deity of Jesus Christ. In particular, what we mean by that, right, that he bears the divine name. You can see John stresses that here, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And that name, of course, being the name that God has revealed of himself, I am, which we read about this morning in Exodus chapter 3. Because, right, why is this important? Because if he's a mere man, which some people argued in the context here in the split in John's church and denied the Son, denied his deity, denied his, in our church's language, the consubstantiality of the Son, that he is one and the same very being with the Father, one and the same very substance with the Father, the same eternality, the same power, the same infinite majesty is Jesus Christ, eternally generated by the Father. There can be no atonement for sins. Because there is not one righteous man. If he is mere man, he is not our Redeemer. He cannot save us. The only hope for mankind is that God is as loving as he declares himself to be and sent his Son to bear your sins on the cross. There can be no atonement if Jesus is not God's Son who took upon flesh. Period. That's why John's stressing it. For to teach otherwise is to lead men's souls to damnation. Read the Athanasian Creed. If you do not believe these things, you cannot be saved. Whoever will be saved must worship and believe one God in Trinity, Trinity in unity, and that Jesus Christ is Son of God, Son of Man. Yeah, the church got it right. Following the Apostle John here. Serious, serious, serious that you believe in your full soul and confess before Jesus himself that he is your God. He is the I Am. And if he's not God, right, he can't bestow upon us everlasting life. There'll be no one there to raise us from the dead. Eternal life, right, that's the life promised after our bodies go into the grave. It's experienced if you are regenerate now, but it's the life given after the resurrection. If he's not God, he can't raise your body. And God hasn't promised resurrection life to anybody but through his Son, Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't do it. Buddha can't do it. And what other pagan false gods that men proclaim cannot do it. Jesus Christ alone. Son of God. And John is very serious about this point. Have you ever wondered why he closes this whole letter? You can turn to the back of it in chapter 5, verse 21, with this word, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because if you look right before at the very last thing he said, and we are in him who is true, the true God, in his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. And anybody who denies that is an idolater. And idolaters, under the law, are penalized with death. So again, no small, idle point, insignificant, that we confess Jesus Christ as Yahweh, Lord, I Am. Now, I want to say a few things about this and dwell on this point. God, in his mercy to me this week, had answered a wonderful question I'd had for a while, and I look forward to sharing that to you. As we look in a few places in Scripture together here, how Jesus, right, how the Messiah, in his both person and in his works, reveals to us this divine name. Now, the Messiah, right, promised to Israel through all the prophets, the coming one who came. Jesus, in this office as God's anointed and Messiah, in many of his works, right, revealed this. Think about him walking on water, right? The Psalms declare, it is Yahweh who calms the seas and the raging storms. I think about Jesus feeding the 5,000 in the wilderness, right? It is Yahweh who can take a nation out into the wilderness and barren desert land and keep it alive for 40 years so that not even their sandals on their feet wear out. And of course, Jesus raising the dead as he did several times in the gospel. Lazarus, the other woman's son, I forget her name. Remember how Jesus convicts the Sadducees of their unbelief. when he said that God is the God of the living, meaning there will be a resurrection, because I'm not the God of the dead. So Jesus, in raising from the dead, declares, yes, I am the God of the living, and I give life to my people, all who come to me and trust in me. But I want to look real quick at two places in John's Gospel that reveal to us this name. You could first turn there. It's in chapter 8 in John's Gospel, if you want to follow with me in your Bible. At the end of the chapter, in verse 58, the Lord Jesus flatly declares that he is I am. He says to the Jews, truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And right, Jesus is asserting there what Paul does in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, even if that yesterday was a couple thousand of years ago when he ministered to Abraham and spoke to him the word of God's truth and cared and provided for him and all the fathers. Remember what we just read in Exodus, beloved? And God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. What did he first say and declare to him? Right? I am the God of your fathers, right? Abraham, Isaac. What's he saying, Moses? Well, I'm the God that's been caring for them. Now, you've been down in Egypt. Many of you might have forgot about that. So he's saying, I am. I am the God who was, right? I was yesterday the same God caring for the same people, upholding them by my power, fulfilling my promises to them. But then, right, he's revealing himself to him in a bush, saying, I hear the cries of my people now. I am the same today. Hearing the cries of my people's affliction and coming to deliver them. And he says, Moses, I'm sending you and my name to Egypt, but I'll be with you. Notice that I will. I'll be the same God that I was yesterday, today, tomorrow, when I go with you into it. Egypt, by my power, by my arm, and deliver my people out. And Jesus is declaring then to these Jews, that was me. And they knew what he was asserting because they picked up stones to kill him. And it's interesting here how he knows that they aren't Abraham's children. Because he doesn't just know it by reading it in Scripture. What does he say to him? You aren't Abraham's children. Because when God spoke his truth to Abraham, Abraham believed it and didn't kill the messenger. I know that because it was me speaking to Abraham the truth. And Abraham didn't kill me. He believed on me and was accounted righteous. And wonderful how the Lord is asserting here that he is the I am, and they can feel it. He knows they aren't Abraham's children. As much as Jesus knows anybody isn't a child of God and Abraham's children who seeks to kill his messengers, who seeks to stamp out the truth in the world. Because Jesus is the one speaking truth. If you're persecuting him when you persecute Christians, the Apostle Paul found out. So Jesus is the I am. But here's the other passage I want to look at. So you see Jesus flatly asserts it. Right, only, as Paul says, only a person can reveal himself to another. Who knows a man but that man? So we've heard it from Jesus' mouth. Jesus himself tells you, I am. And it is then now, all of you are obligated to believe it and accept it, that Jesus is the I am. But look in earlier in the chapter in verse 28. Here's where God answered a great question for me. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up, and in John's Gospel, that doesn't mean just to glory, but it means on the cross, because the cross is the beginning of his being raised to the glory of which he is now seated in. So he's saying, when you lift me up, or through my death on the cross, then you will know that I am he, or that I am. And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Now, I had wondered for a while, beloved, because Jesus makes it clear to these people who want to accuse him of Sabbath breaking. I only do what my Father shows me. So to condemn me as a Sabbath breaker, you have to condemn God as a Sabbath breaker. Because I, the Son, abide in God's love. My Father loves me. Just like you love your children, if you show your own children the works you do, parents, the good works, and raise them up in the right way, clearly that's a loving thing to do. That's what the Father does to the Son, Jesus. And Jesus says, I just abide in that. I just do what God shows me to do. Now, I've been thinking to myself, well, because it's heresy, if you know the history of the church, to confess that the Father died on the cross, right? He never did. But how, if Jesus is talking about the work of dying on the cross, but when did the Father show him that? Because the Father didn't die on the cross. That's a heresy you get to if you're a modalist. If you don't believe in the three distinct persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and just believe that sometimes God is Father, sometimes God is Spirit, and sometimes God is Son. Because the logical conclusion is, then the Father died on the cross, and that's a heresy called Patripassianism, which I don't mean to raise today, but to leave bearing. So I'm thinking to myself, how did the Father show him this work? How is Jesus revealing the divine name of God at the cross? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How? Because that's what he's saying here. You will know when you lift me up and I die on the cross that I am. That I am the Son of God, which means I bear the divine name. You'll know it. It's like this. God the Father, as John asserts in his own letter, in his mercy, went so far as to give his Son for us, right? There's a reason why I opened up our worship service this morning with God's name. Because the first thing he told Moses when Moses asked to see his glory was, I am a merciful God. I am gracious. I am long-suffering. I am abundant in goodness or steadfast love and faithfulness. Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2:4, says that God, in giving his Son and making us alive with him through the death of Christ, has shown that he is rich in mercy. So the Father taught the Son what it is to be rich in mercy and giving something up. The Father gave the Son. The Son then, in giving his life and laying it down, is just following in his Father's footsteps and showing you his great mercy. That he truly is like the Father, and that the divine name, that's not human mercy, that's not some other name being revealed to you, that is the very eternal quality and substance and character of God himself being proclaimed to you at the cross, that I am merciful and gracious. I am thankful to have that question personally answered to me this week, wondering how did the Father show Jesus this work without falling into error and heresy? It's because God the Father gave the Son in his mercy, and God the Son gave his life for you in his mercy. I won't dwell on this, but I'll give you more to think about there, and you can go home today and meditate on it. Hebrews 9:14 shows that it was also all three persons at work there on the cross, bearing the divine name. Paul writes, how much more shall the blood of Christ, that's the Son of God, who through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, that's the Father, purge your conscience from dead works, right, sins, to serve the living God. The very name of God is declared to you, beloved, at the cross, and I urge you to believe it. And to receive God's mercy and abide in it. So we must confess, as John is saying, that Jesus Christ is Lord. To believe on his name, then, is to receive him as such. To receive Jesus as he really is and presents himself to you, not a mere man, but in his great humility, comes to you, clothed in human form. But you must receive him as he truly is, the eternal Son of God. That's what it means to believe on his name. And you must believe the good news, beloved, that your sins are forgiven by God's love, and that alone, his great mercy. The Father loved us in sending the Son, and sent him to love us in laying down his life for us, bury God's wrath against our sin, and to reconcile us to his Father. That is the love that we're called to abide in. That is the command that Jesus means when he says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, love as I have loved you. You receive love and you abide in love. That's what it means to be a Christian. You see how it's through faith we learn to love? You don't learn to love in any other way but through faith. This is a teaching point for John here to the church. If you don't believe in Jesus and really believe what took place at the cross, really understand the transaction of the Holy Trinity there, and accept it as the work of God for the forgiveness of your sins, and if you don't believe that and receive that, then you will not learn what love is, because John reiterates over and over in this letter, we know what love is because we've seen it and have experienced it. God giving the Son and the Son giving his life. Thirdly then, beloved, God wants us to be his children. God's children believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And God's children love one another. God's children love one another like the Father loved them and like the Son loved them. Scripture calls this, right, abiding in God. That's what John says. Anybody who does these commandments, right, abides in God. That's verse 24 there in 1 John. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. Right, if you don't abide in this love, beloved, do you know what will happen to you? If this love, I'm very serious, if this love is not in you, if you have not the faith and received this love, John knows what will happen because he's experienced it. You will fall and stumble out of the church. You will not be able to forbear other sins. You will not be able to forgive other sins. You will not be able to show mercy because you don't know you've been shown mercy. John says in chapter 2, verse 10 of this letter, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. That's what he means. You, a cause for you to stumble. If you have the love of God in you, you will stay in the church and love these sinners. If you don't have the love of God in you, you will not stay in the church and love these sinners. If you receive not Jesus Christ as Lord, if you receive not the gospel of the forgiveness of your sins for his sake alone, accept that. Come to realize that in your life. Then you won't have the love to stay in the church of Jesus Christ. I want to say one word about that love because I think it's so wonderful. In John chapter 15, or as I read to you Jesus' command there, love one another as I've loved you. Notice how even in the authority he takes in commanding men, he's showing to you his divine name, right? He doesn't say God commands you, he's saying I command you because I am. Notice that there's a loop of love, right? Called the loop of love. Maybe you can remember that. Remember the loop of love. That's the gospel. If you can remember the loop of love, you can share the gospel. It begins, right, as I loved you. That's the first part of the loop. I took on flesh, came down here, and we've been going through Mark, beloved. You know the long suffering and patience of Jesus towards his own. He didn't just love him at the cross. He put up with him. And he is the unchanging Lord in heaven and still puts up with us and loves us with an unchanging love. Right? That loop begins with, as I loved you, love one another. Right? The divine life, right? Jesus is just revealing to you his divine life. John makes that point as he begins this letter. We saw the eternal life. The life of love. Because only a life could go on forever with love, because if love's not in you, that means hatred and murder's in you. And how can you have life with people when you kill each other? There can't be life. It's just death. Everybody's dead. So there's no hatred and murder in God. They just kill each other. That's blasphemy to think it. Love is the life of God. Love is the perfect union that binds the three persons of the Trinity together. And love is how that life is communicated. And you know it. Because if any of you have ever had strange relationships, how does life again with that person start? Somebody humbly coming and saying, I forgive you. Or humbly coming and saying, I'm sorry for what I did. And that is what God did on the cross. He came to you in Jesus Christ, the offended one, and said, it's all forgiven. I forgive you. Don't worry about those things. Come home. Live in my love. Learn from me and love. The divine life is communicated by love. Jesus asserts it, John 15:9. Abide in my commandments, and you abide in my love, as I abide in the Father's commandments, and abide in his love. His love is communicated as loop of love, beloved. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice here, too, that a child of God, we're looking today, right, at the essence of Christianity, what it is to be a Christian. A child of God is someone who believes rightly and loves other Christians, right? That's what John's saying. A child of God is somebody who believes rightly about Jesus Christ and the gospel and who loves God's children, right? A child of God is not someone with orthodox beliefs and a cold heart. Neither is a child of God someone with heretical beliefs, but a warm heart. Right? It's not just faith without love, and it's not just love without faith. One goes to a cold orthodoxy, one goes to a social gospel without any belief at all. It doesn't really matter. Jesus isn't the only way of salvation. And John's saying it's both. It's right faith in Jesus Christ, and it's love for God's children. So, beloved, so we're clear. I can acquit myself before the Lord today and know that his word was preached to you and I was clear. A child of God is someone who believes the gospel of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. That it was the Son of God who died for their sins. And a child of God is then someone who abides in God's reconciling love and showing love to others like Christ showed love to them. Right? All who do that, John says, abides in Jesus Christ. Abides in the household of God. So how do you become this child of God? Hear the gospel. You heard it this morning. Believe the gospel, right? Obey the Father's will. He wants you to be his child. Call upon him if you're struggling with your faith, struggling with your love. Know that it is God's will that you go not into the flames, but abide in eternal life. Now may he who alone is able to keep you all from falling and to present you holy before his presence at the coming of Jesus Christ, I commend you to him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for revealing your divine name to us. We thank you for how clearly you have shown that to us at the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are merciful and that you also will not acquit the sinner. We thank you for putting your Son, Jesus Christ, to death for our sins and raising him up for our justification. Help us to abide in that love, abide in that faith, and show that love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.